Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shot fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. But I look good. I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, Al Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Yes. It is about that time. Happy Monday to you all. I hope you're doing well out there, Spartan fans. I really hope you're doing well out there. It was a tough weekend. The Michigan football team absolutely brought it. Trouncing, pouncing on the MSU football team on Saturday out in Ann Arbor. It was ugly. It was ugly to watch. It was not fun. For those who rock the green and white and bleed green. And, of course, we are going to talk about it on today's show. I'm not going to sit here and break down how the game went and bring up moments and, you know, key moments of the game and break down the X's and the O's of that game. You probably are tired of that by now, and you don't want to hear that. What you want to hear is, where do we go now? Where do we go from here? How does Michigan State football rebound from this? And with two games left now, you got Rutgers and Maryland on the docket. You can't afford to have any kind of hiccup in the loss column against either of those opponents. Because if you do, you are not going to any kind of bowl game. And if you become bowl eligible and finish out the year with two wins, you'll probably be playing in the Quick Lane Bowl, which is right downtown Detroit in your backyard at Ford Field. And how much is really that worth? So you got two scenarios that could play out there. They aren't great. But at the end of the day, if D'Antonio is going to go out here, you know, you like to see him go out, I guess, in a bowl game, even if it's the Quick Lane Bowl. I don't know. But we'll talk about Spartans and Wolverines and the travesty that was Saturday afternoon at the Big House. Also, I want to talk about the Detroit Lions taking on my Dallas Cowboys. And full disclosure here, I didn't get a chance to see not a lick of that game. Not one down. It's the first time I have missed my beloved Cowboys on the tube and probably, I don't know, maybe like elementary school or high school. I can't remember. It's been a long, long time. Let's just say that. And it's because for those that follow me on social media, I'm acting as well. I'm an actor. And I had a short film to shoot. It was an 11-hour shoot nonstop yesterday. So I am literally running off of fumes right now. The shoot was from 3 all the way until 2 a.m. Got home around 2:30-ish, a little after 2:30. And when the game kicked off at 1 p.m., I was trying to get into my mode. And I didn't want any distractions because I'm sure that the Cowboys and Lions were going to distract me. So I didn't turn the TV on and just kind of locked in on what I had to do that day. But I did follow it in the moments that I had during the shoot. I got a chance to follow what was happening on my phone in that game. And, of course, it led to a Detroit Lions loss. Cowboys win. And I do have a few points to make when it comes to the Detroit Lions and the season that they're having right now, especially in regards to Matthew Stafford. And when you hear about fractures in your back, that's pretty serious, right? That's not something you just kind of scoff at and say, oh, you're good, you'll be fine. I mean, that's not like a sprained ankle, right? Fractures in the back. When we heard that Matthew Stafford had played with fractures in his back near the tail end of last season, when that news came out during the offseason, we said, what? If you didn't already respect this dude, you have to after hearing a story like that. But, you know, Matthew Stafford now hasn't played the past 2 weeks because of, yes, fractures in the back. And it looks as though it's being reported that Matthew Stafford is going to be out longer than expected. He's going to be out about 6 weeks. So, yeah, not great. Not great. And then to close out the show, did you see the fiasco that was the Colin Kaepernick workout? Just when I thought the NFL was extending some kind of olive branch and was going to give this man a legit shot at putting his name on an NFL roster, they decided to get slick with it. They got slick with it. And I'll explain how later on this hour. All right, so a lot to get to. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. We are also going to welcome, on the back end of the show, Gene Orlando, who is the head coach of the Michigan State men's tennis program. He is going to talk about a very cool story as the Capital City Tennis Classic has come to East Lansing this week. The Michigan State University Tennis Center holding the first Capital City Tennis Classic. It's going to be a great event with some very, very good talent on the tennis court coming right here to the area, already coming to the area. All right, so Gene is going to join us live in studio to talk about that as well. You can also pick up that phone, 517-355-WKAR-9527. Also, go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News. Watch the live stream there. Comment below that video. And you can tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. Jack Kerwin behind the glass on this Monday, November 18th, 2019. Here are your quick hit headliners. I just want to give you guys a heads up that the Michigan State men's basketball team will be playing host to Charleston Southern tonight at 6:30 p.m. inside of the friendly confines of the Breslin Center. All right, so Spartans and Buccaneers tonight, 6:30 p.m. as Michigan State men's hoops tries to improve on that 2-1 record coming off, of course, that win last week. That was really like a March Madness feel, right? That was really, really fun to watch. And Michigan State, I tell you what, you know, I think that as this team just continues to roll along, you are going to see a lot of young pups. You know, not just, you know, Malik Hall, but Rocket Watts. I'm waiting on Rocket Watts to really just break out and have like a double digit scoring affair. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. And why not tonight? Again, against Charleston Southern at 6:30 p.m. All right. MSU football just got blown out of the water on Saturday out in Ann Arbor. It was pretty embarrassing. I'm wondering how long Spartan fans lasted in watching that game. How long did you sit on that couch watching your team just get destroyed? I really feel bad for you if you had tickets to that game as a Michigan State fan. But 44-10, I knew that Michigan State was going to lose. I predicted that. Everybody, a lot of people did. But 44-10, I didn't know it was going to be a bloodbath like that. We'll have more on that game in just a moment, and we'll address where Michigan State football goes from here. And we'll put this loss in perspective in the context of the rivalry in years to come as well. So we'll double back in just a moment for that. On a much more positive note, though, you got to give mad props to the Michigan State hockey team, who completed a two-game sweep of Michigan on Saturday with a 3-0 shutout in front of a sellout crowd of 6,500 people at Mount Ice Arena. John Lethemon, he made 35 saves for his second shutout in the last four games, while Josh Knottler, he had the game winner. Austin Kramer and Tommy Apap scored for Michigan State as well. And, you know, this is like the first sweep for MSU hockey in a really long time. I believe I read something like it's been like a decade since MSU hockey has done this. So, amazing stuff for MSU hockey. So, I don't know if that kind of puts some kind of Band-Aid on the wound after watching what MSU football did against the Michigan football team on Saturday. But that's really cool stuff. Shout out to head coach Danton Cole. That's awesome stuff for him. All right, the Michigan State women's cross country team earned an automatic bid to the 2019 NCAA championships next weekend after racing to a first place finish with 49 points at the NCAA Great Lakes Regional on the Zimmer Championship course on Friday afternoon. So Walt Drenth doing an outstanding job as the director of cross country and track and field. This is a bit of what Walt had to say concerning this accomplishment for his team. Quote, they've been dialed in all year, but one of the things I've been really proud of with this group, and you've seen this in the past from us, is every time we race, we seem to be a little better. Thinking about the progress that they've made and their sense of purpose is really fun, and they set some serious goals when we started the season. So, the number 6 ranked Spartan women advance to their 19th consecutive NCAA championship as MSU captured the Great Lakes Regional title for the first time since 2014. As I just mentioned, the Detroit Lions fell to my Dallas Cowboys 35-27. The Lions fall 2-3-6-1. The Cowboys improving to 6-4. And the back injury to Lions QB Matthew Stafford, again, it may have been worse than previously thought. After the 31-year-old was ruled out of last week's game against the Chicago Bears with fractured bones in his back, the team and sources originally said they believed it to be week-to-week. On Friday, the team officially ruled him out of yesterday's game against the Cowboys, his second consecutive missed start. Head coach Matt Patricia, he caught the injury day-to-day and week-to-week. Doctors have since told Stafford that he's dealing with a 6-week injury. So, yeah. Man, they added that the QB could return sooner, so there's a little bit of hope there. This is what was said by ESPN's Adam Schefter, citing a source, quote, that doesn't mean Stafford will be sidelined 6 games, but it does provide a glimpse into the severity of the injury that is played through before the Lions doctors denied him from playing last week against the Bears and yesterday against the Cowboys. So,
if the Lions are smart, he will have played his last game for the team this season. But they're not smart, Al, so we'll see what happens.
Exactly. And you know what, Jack? I mean, if you're Matthew Stafford and you've got fractured bones in your back. You know, you've made a lot of money throughout your career. Do you want to keep putting your body through this, man? Don't you just want to retire at
this point? That's exactly why they should shut him down, because you saw what happened to Andrew Luck at the beginning of this season. Andrew Luck realized that, you know, going through these painful rehabs, that he has a lot more to his life than football, and he's made plenty of money. Matthew Stafford could very possibly feel the same way. So if you're the Detroit Lions and you believe Matthew Stafford is your most important asset, which, spoiler alert, he is, you should not put him back out on the field this season.
I agree. Don't risk it, man. If you really care about him and his well-being, don't play him. I mean, why would you even be playing him right now? You've won three games.
Yeah, there's no point. Season. No, you would hurt your draft stock by bringing him back. But here's the other thing, actually, to be honest with you, Al. The broken bones in his back for a second consecutive year development has kind of made me think that maybe the Lions should go the way of the Baltimore Ravens or the Kansas City Chiefs and draft another quarterback in the first round this year and make a decision on Stafford a year from now. Stafford's played outstanding this season, but back injuries really scare me.
Yeah, I mean, when you're talking about fractures in your back, again, like I said earlier, that's not like a, it's not a sprained ankle or even a torn ACL. I live with that before I talk about fractures in my back.
I'm not an NFL quarterback, not even close, obviously. That being said, if I had broken bones in my back from playing football, I would be done.
No, done. Hang him up. And, I just really feel bad for Matthew Stafford because, you know, this is a man who was having arguably the best year of his career. He was amazing before he dealt with this. So, wishing Matthew Stafford the best, man. I really hope he's in a good mental state. All right. I'm going to get to this story later on this hour, but if you did not follow this at all over the weekend, this is what happened when it came to Colin Kaepernick's workout. Cap has not thrown a pass in the NFL since the 2016 season and nearly 3 years after appearing against the Seattle Seahawks in the final week of the season, his standing in the league and team's interest in the QB does not appear to have changed, even despite his workout on Saturday. Cap showcase, the showcase that happened, it may have been marred by the controversy surrounding the workout in the hours and minutes leading up to it. The former 49ers QB, he actually switched his workout location at the last minute to a high school from the Atlanta Falcons training facility. From the 25 teams that were apparently scheduled to be at the training facility for the workout, 6 teams were able to make it to the new location. Additionally, Cap and his reps, Ben Masilas and Jeff Naley, they said the change in location was due to facilitate, quote, a transparent and open process. This is what Masilas had to say, quote, from the outset, Mr. Kaepernick requested a legitimate process, and from the outset, the NFL league office has not provided one. He goes on to say, most recently, him and Naley, I should point out as well, the two reps were Colin Kaepernick, quote, most recently, the NFL has demanded that as a precondition to the workout, Mr. Kaepernick signed an unusual liability waiver that addresses employment-related issues and rejected the standard liability waiver from physical injury proposed by Mr. Kaepernick's representatives. Oh, I got some thoughts on that. All right, I'll just let you marinate on that story for a moment. All right. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to Facebook.com/WKAR News and watch the live stream there. And you can also comment below that live stream and tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. All right, folks, again, you are tuned into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Let's just address it. Let's get it all out there on the table, Spartan fans. I am not going to sit here on the airwaves and go through quarter by quarter talking about what Michigan State could have done, didn't do on the gridiron to get absolutely manhandled, embarrassed against in-state rival Michigan. It was a bloodbath. That's what it was. 44-10 as the Wolverines got their eighth win of the season. And also, let me just get this out the way, too, because I went to the barbershop this weekend, and you know how the barbershop is, fellas. You know, when you go get a cut, everybody's debating about sports and life, mostly sports, though. Probably just sports, to be honest. Life comes in there as well, but mostly sports. And, of course, with it being rivalry week, everybody's talking about Michigan and Michigan State. And what amazes me about Lansing, I was talking to my barber Melvin about this, is that in the Lansing area, probably not East Lansing area, but in the Lansing area, there are a ton of Wolverines fans. It's amazing to me. In the Lansing area where Michigan State is in your backyard, there are a lot of people who rock the maize and blue. So the barbershop is like split. You know, you've got Michigan State fans, you've got Michigan fans, and probably the biggest Michigan fan is a barber in there. He's such a good dude. Man, everybody is in there. Shout out to Pro Style Barbershop in Lansing. But my man T, and if you look at T's barber hub, barber section, he's got Michigan stuff everywhere. Michigan posters. He is a proud Michigan Wolverine fan. And I told him, because he called me out when I walked in. He said, Al, Monday at 1 o'clock, you're going to be real, right? And I said, yeah, T, I got you, bro. And I'm going to give you a shout out. All right. So, T, there's your shout out. Now let's just get to it. Before we hit this first break, I won't be long here. I won't be long because at this point, I sound like a broken record. I am beating a dead horse. Just pick your cliche. It's old hat now. It's old hat. We know that change has to come. You can't get blown out 44-10, lose 2 years straight to the Wolverines, and this latest loss, you weren't even competitive. Not for one moment did I feel like Michigan State could mount a comeback and make this thing a game. And it shocks me because, you know, I think my prediction was something like 13 points in favor of Michigan. I didn't see 44 being thrown up on the board and the Michigan State offense only putting up 10 points. That's an embarrassment. And change has to come. If you didn't think so before, especially after how that Illinois game went, if you weren't convinced then, you have to be convinced now. No knock against Coach D. You got to love the dude. I mean, Coach D'Antonio, you know, and you know what's funny? Why can't media outlets get Mark D'Antonio's last name right? I'm sitting here staring at an article from Tom Fornell of CBS Sports, and he spelled Mark D'Antonio's last name as Mark D apostrophe Antonio, like he wanted to put D'Antoni, and he spells D'Antonio, but it's D apostrophe capital A. Come on, Tom, come on, man. All right, that's neither here nor there. At the end of the day, change has to come, and I think that Mark D'Antonio, he's known for a while now that this is going to be his last season. He can't endure something like this again. Just can't. And looking at this roster now, I also have a question when it comes to the future of this squad next year, probably for the next 3 years. Because I question the talent, the football talent that is truly on this Michigan State football team right now. We all know. Can we just address this too? We've seen this play out this season. We gave him an excuse because he was injured last year. The coaching staff didn't do him any justice by putting him out there knowing that his throwing arm was not 100%. So you know what? I said I give him a mulligan. Brian Lewerke got a mulligan because he was not healthy last season. But this season, there's no excuse. He is 100% and has looked like a D quarterback. A D-class quarterback all season. There are moments when he has an accurate throw and puts some mustard on the football, fits it in a tight window, shades of two seasons ago. But his consistency is not there. Not there whatsoever. Brian Lewerke is not an elite quarterback. He is not an NFL caliber quarterback. We know that now. And then from there, it's a trickle-down effect to the rest of the offense, especially when you got Daryl Stewart out as well, that's Michigan State's best receiver. Cody White is good, but he's not consistent. He had a few drops on Saturday as well. Elijah Collins is a decent back, but again, that offensive line is that offensive line. I'm not going to sit here and just hammer you over the head with the specifics of how bad this team is. But again, I do want to touch on Michigan State's recruiting because I think it's a problem. When you look at 44-10, blown out of the water against your in-state rival, I question the talent, the overall talent that Mark D'Antonio and this coaching staff has gone out there and gathered up. I think this is going to be bad for years to come, folks. I don't know when the next time Michigan and Michigan State is going to be a competitive rivalry game. Just get comfortable with that, Spartan fans. You are going to have to get comfortable with being uncomfortable right now. Because with the way things are set up right now, Michigan State football is at a crossroads. A crossroads with Mark D'Antonio. A crossroads with trying to build this program back up. I don't think Michigan State football is going to be even a conference contender again. Maybe not until like 3 years from now. That's what I said to myself when I was watching that travesty that was Saturday. That's where we're at. And when looking at where this team can go from here, you have to laugh the pain away a little bit when discussing this. When looking at where this team is going to go from here, we all know Mark D'Antonio, he's done. And let's just say, again, I've touched on this. You know, Luke Fickell coming in.
It's my guy.
I think that's everybody's guy right now, Jack.
Probably at this point.
At this point, he's number one at the top of your list on trying to accrue after this season. It's no guarantee Luke Fickell's going to come in here immediately and start leading you to Indianapolis. There's going to be a period where Luke Fickell, again, he's going to have to go out there, get his staff together, go out there and recruit, and then you probably won't see the payoff of that recruiting job for some years.
You said 3 years, if you don't mind here, Al. Said 3 years, and that's assuming that Michigan State handles this properly.
Right.
That's assuming that Michigan State moves on from Mark D'Antonio, you know, gets a real athletic director in here, and then moves on and gets a coach like Luke Fickell who could turn this thing around in a reasonable timeline. Do you even foresee that happening right now? I'm not sure I do.
I'm not confident in that at all. You know, we kicked around this social media rumor out there that, okay, what if Mark D'Antonio gets moved to athletic director? And I have that question as well. Let's just play with that thought for a moment. I want to gauge. I think, you know, you and I, Jack, we've talked about this, and we both think that'd be a I wouldn't mind that move at all.
No, the problem with it is enough people I've spoken with that know D'Antonio closely just say he's not suited for it and he'll never take that job. That's why I'm not more ho-hum about, or I'm not more like rah-rah about D'Antonio becoming the athletic director.
But if he did, I want to pose this question out there to our listeners. If he did, in fact, take this job, are Spartan fans at the point now where they just want to wash their hands completely of Coach D and just say, all right, we got our memories, Coach. We don't need you a part of MSU athletics at all at this point. are you at that point where you just want to wash your hands completely of Coach D? Or would you like to see him in an AD role? And this is the thing. Putting Mark in the AD role would give me more confidence that they would get the Luke Fickell hire right, because right now, like you said, Jack, with Bill Beekman in place, we have no confidence there. Bill is still learning the job.
He probably thinks we won on Saturday.
No, what do you mean?
he probably got the maize and blue and the green and white mixed up. He's probably rooting because the crowd was so happy the whole time. He probably thought that, hey, we're the good guys. They're happy for us. That's why everyone's so happy.
Yeah, that's why, right? Yeah, Bill probably got that mixed up on Jack. And you know what? And then after the game, too, and you know it's bad when you start to just see, who was it, Jacob Panishuk, right, who got ejected for the targeting, and he should have. The frustration level boiling over. And then you see, you know, I saw the video after the game of the Michigan players kind of like shooing the Michigan State players off the field because they should. I didn't feel bad at all for D'Antonio, his coaching staff, or any player that was on that field on Saturday. And let me say this. I got one more point I want to make before we hit this first break. I have heard this a lot, Jack, and we're probably on opposite ends when it comes to this topic. I think I'm in the minority in saying this, but there are a lot of you out there that feel like Mark D'Antonio and the program owe you an explanation as to what is going wrong, what has gone wrong this season. I don't think Mark D'Antonio owes you any kind of explanation. Look, you're fans, all right? That's on you if you want to pay your money and support the program. That's on you. That's your money. You do what you want with it. Nobody forced you to go out there, buy tickets, and support Coach D and the football program. So if Michigan State doesn't perform up to your liking, they don't owe you an explanation for what's going wrong. Who D'Antonio answers to is his boss. Okay, he answers to Bill Beekman and President Stanley. Not Bob from East Lansing. Okay, I totally disagree with that. The fact you think Mark D'Antonio has to come out and explain what has gone wrong. What are you looking for him to say? It's pretty obvious. This is a bad football team. Mark D'Antonio, he tried to be the smartest man in the room and reshuffle the chairs, not fire anybody or bring in some new ideas to his coaching staff, and that is the product that you're getting. What do you think he's going to say? If you said as a fan, all right, Coach D, explain this. What is going to make you sleep better at night? We're past that point. D'Antonio does not owe you an explanation. If you get the explanation, what is that going to do for your green and white morale? I don't get that. I'm probably in the minority in saying that, Jack, but I don't think Coach D owes anybody any kind of explanation here. It is so cut and dry and obvious as to what is going wrong with this program right now. So, I don't know. You go ahead and chime in on that before we hit this first break.
No, you know what? I think I do disagree with you just because, you know, D'Antonio put all of his chips in the middle last year when he kept the offensive staff intact. And if I'm D'Antonio, I got to send a message to fans if I plan on being here in the long run. And at this point, I don't know if he's going to be done after this season because I now know that I don't think there's going to be any pressure from the university to move on from him. I don't think Bill Beekman is going to put the pressure on him and force him to make changes if he wants to stick around. So to that end, I think D'Antonio's gone after this year, but I guess I don't know that for sure. And if
so you're saying that if he says something, you want him to, at this point in the middle of the year, to talk about whether or not he's going to be around next season?
Well, yeah, I mean,
I don't think he even owes the fans that. Let's let it play out. I think play out these last two games, and then after that final game, go from there. If Coach D wants to come out and say something then, yeah, I think, okay, you don't want to keep fans in the program in limbo. But right now, still in the middle of the season, you got two games left. I just don't understand fans saying, yeah, you owe us an explanation, Coach D. No, you don't.
Oh, yeah, I mean, fair enough, I guess, because you're right. I mean, coaches in general probably don't say a whole lot during the season. But if he plans to be back next season, he needs to lay out how this is going to be different. Mm-hmm. You know, what changes he plans on making, what philosophical nuances we're going to see moving forward that we haven't seen this past year. And if we're being honest, you know, Michigan State football has eroded the last couple of years just by, you know, the few great assistant coaches D'Antonio's had. They've been moved on. You know, Pat Narduzzi's at Pitt. He's been there for 5 years now. You know, Harlan Barnett is no longer on that defensive staff. Dan Enos isn't here anymore. You know, with what D'Antonio has left, I don't think he's got a whole lot helping him out in terms of his coaching staff. And, you know, at this point, if he's going to come back, he's got to lay out for everybody how this plan is going to be different, how he plans on getting Michigan State back into contention.
I agree with that. If he's going to come back, he's got to, yeah, for sure. He owes fans an explanation on how he's going to turn
this around. They can't play the okey-doke and shuffle everyone around again.
No, if that, there'll be riots. There'll be riots.
Or even worse, there'll be apathy. Because I think that's what Michigan State fans are right now.
Line one, Tom from Grand Rapids has been waiting oh so patiently. Tom, you are on Current Sports. What's up, my man?
Hey, Al. I hear you both talking, and here's the deal. I've got season tickets for over 30 years, so I've sat through different renditions of this. I hate to say this. I have a lot of respect for the man. He's brought the team, the university, to a stage that, you know, who knew we were ever going to get to. Having said that, he needs to go, Al. He's lost it. It's not been the last couple, 3 years. It's been really since the college football playoff game. He's just not recovered. I just don't see it. He should have made some changes already by now. I don't even know what else to say. I don't know how I can think about renewing my tickets next year when this is the crap we get to endure week after week after week. And it's not getting better.
Very true. Tom, thank you. Appreciate the honesty, brother. Yeah. I think what you just heard from Tom, Jack, that's how many, many, many Spartan fans feel right now. And, you know, I'm curious. I mean, when you have a dip-off like this, a lot of fans who have been season ticket holders for a long, long time, I'm curious to see what the attendance is going to be like in Spartan Stadium for the next few years, Jack. I don't know, man.
I mean, I think fans are pretty apathetic at this point. You know what? I mean, losing five games in a row, and you know what? This team looks absolutely dead. We saw it last week against Illinois when they got out to a 28-3 lead, mm-hmm. and then you let Illinois come back into that game. From a talent standpoint, Illinois is not better than Michigan State.
Yeah.
They just are not. But when Michigan State is tuned out, you know, when one side of the ball hadn't been pulling their weight for the longest time, you know, in regards to the offense, you know, I think the play of the defense had regressed as a result of that, having to be on the field 40 minutes every single week. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you've kind of seen some flashes from the offense this season, obviously, Indiana, Western Michigan. You know, they even put up 30 points against Illinois. But, you know, I mean, it started with the erosion of the offense, and it's been like poison. It's spread to the entire team. You know, I don't think they really show any signs of life anymore. You know, they got out to that 7-0 lead and then a 44-3 run by Michigan on Saturday. This program is completely dead, and you're exactly right. There's no quick fix here. It's at least 3 years until they'll contend for the Big Ten again, and that's if they do everything right starting this offseason, and I don't trust that they will.
Yep, I'm with you, man. And what I saw on Saturday, I just saw no fire. I mean, that's a rivalry game. I was sitting, you know, watching that, and guys were just kind of walking to the huddle and kind of ho-hum, and that's, I hate to say it, man, that's on the coaching staff. I don't think that the coaching staff got them ready for that game.
The other issue, too, is why would Luke Fickell want this job? Why would he want to come to Michigan State right now?
If the money right.
Sure,
Jack,
sure, but he's going to get other head coaching offers. True. You know he is.
True, you got to match it.
Any job in the Big Ten West is a better job than Michigan State because you don't have to go through Michigan, Ohio State, and Penn State every year. You know, a Big 12 coaching offer, if he wants to go out there, is probably better than Michigan State because Texas has been down for a while.
Yeah.
Oklahoma's still very good, but, you know, all you have to do is be the second best team in the Big 12 and you're in the championship game. There are no divisions over there.
Yep, and you definitely have to weigh that in as well. I mean, you know, what's going to give you, if the money's right, and what's going to give you the easier road to have success? Yeah, I'm totally with that. Okay. All right, if you want to call in, like Tom from Grand Rapids just did, you know, this is like a therapy hour. You know, you want to vent. You can vent right here live on Current Sports. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Right now, let's hit a break. And when we come back, we are going to welcome live in studio the head coach of the Michigan State Men's Tennis Program. We've got Gene Orlando in his house to talk about the first Capital City Tennis Classic this week. Yeah, we'll tell you all about that and more. You are listening to the Monday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm gonna press pause on the whole Detroit Lions conversation right now. Matthew Stafford, yeah, he's injured. He did not play for his second week, and I'm not bragging about this, Jack. I'm not gonna brag about my Dallas Cowboys beating the Detroit Lions. That's not something you do.
Right? Well, I mean, if you want me to be completely honest with you, I know you didn't see the game. Your team didn't play particularly well.
They didn't.
They won. Yeah, I mean, I could play well against the Detroit Lions defense at this point and defensive genius Matt Patricia. But yes, your guy, the man that I am noted to not believe in, Dak Prescott, did throw for a lot of yards in yesterday's game.
Exactly. That's my guy. That's my quarterback, as T.O. once famously said while tearing up about Tony Romo. All right? But happy Monday to you guys. I'm sorry segment A was such a downer. This show was a bit of a downer because of what happened Saturday. But we hope to bring some sunshine to your Monday with this conversation because right now in front of me, for those watching courtesy of Facebook Live at facebook.com/WKAR News. You see that we have not one but two in-studio guests. Always exciting when we can get a guest here from one to two live in-studio. And right now we have Gene Orlando, a part of Current Sports. He is the head coach of the Michigan State Men's Tennis Program. And also sitting to his right, right in front of me, Brandon Perez from Venezuela. He is one of the many, many professional tennis players who are trying to compete for a $15,000 prize in the first ever Capital City Tennis Classic. First off, Gene, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, Ralph. It's great to be here.
Brandon, thank you so much for joining me as well.
Thank you for having me.
Awesome stuff. Happy Monday to you both.
Thank you.
I want to start here, Gene. How did this whole event come about? How did the Capital City Tennis Classic arrive here in Lansing?
Well, my assistant, Coach Harry Jaden, did an internship with the USTA tennis academy down in Orlando, and he knew this transition tour was starting to develop. So he was in the beginning stages. So when he became my assistant, he brought to my attention that this might be a great opportunity for us. So we were probably thinking about this event about 16 months ago, and we went through the USTA, and they brought their people up and did a court survey, and just to see if the facilities would, you know, be up to the ATP standards, and we passed that, and then we decided that we picked a weekend that worked for them, and this is the weekend that this week that worked for us, and you know, they said they give us the approval to do it, and from there we had to reach out to a lot of vendors to try to fundraise $50,000. We've got some great sponsors, and from there we've been able to create opportunities for our players and for our community to see some top-ranked tennis players and get people like Brandon Perez and other players from all over the world to stop by East Lansing and play some tennis.
That's awesome stuff. And Gene, how long has this been a goal of yours, to bring pro tennis to Lansing? Because this helps with the popularity of the sport in this area as well, right? To see an event like this.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I never really thought it was possible, but, you know, other Big Ten teams like Ohio State and Illinois, the two powerhouses in the Big Ten, have been doing this probably about 4 or 5 years. And, you know, I really didn't think it would be possible. But where there's a will, there's a way, and we just kept unplugging, came with an idea, and we just stuck with it, and we got a lot of support, and, you know, here we are. So it's our push. It's going to help with recruiting, and gives our players the rub shoulders with players that are trying to make a living, and they see that level, and hopefully they can be that level.
That is absolutely awesome stuff. Now, for you, Gene, can you kind of take us through the logistics of the tournament? How many players are we talking? I know qualifying just finished. Right.
Well, qualifying will finish tomorrow.
Tomorrow. It finishes tomorrow. Yep. Can you kind of give us a breakdown of how many tennis players we're talking about and how this whole thing works?
Okay. Well, we have 48 players in the qualifying, and obviously it comes down to where the rankings are. And there's a lot of pro tournaments around the world, so players have opportunities to play in whatever city they would like, and they travel from week to week. And when the players show up, on Saturday, they had a sign in from 4 to 6, and that's when you find out who all the top players are. And if you're the top 40, mm-hmm. 48, then you get in. If not, then you go on a waiting list, and maybe someone will get hurt, maybe someone will pull out, and that's how they're selected. But again, the main draw, and again, it comes down to where you rank. I think the highest ranked player that we have is 310 in the world.
Gotcha.
He'll be the number one seed, 310, and then the rest of them will probably be more between 300 and the 700s. And you got Brandon here is going to be, I think he's 1,000 in the world right now, and he's in the round to qualify tomorrow. If he wins his qualifying match, he's in the main draw and an opportunity to improve his ranking to get to the next level. And I kind of look at this like in baseball, you have A-League, you have AA and AAA, and this transition tour is more of an A-League where players are looking to get to that next level. If they do well here, they get so many ATP points, and that qualifies them for what we call the challenger level. Mm-hmm. And then AAA would be more like the qualifying for the Grand Slams, and then obviously the Grand Slams are mm-hmm. top of the top.
Wow, that is awesome stuff. So can you kind of break down the rankings? I mean, you kind of talked about, okay, you got the AAA.
Obviously the top 128 players will get into the Grand Slams.
Right.
And then the AAA would be from like, say 129 to maybe 250, mm-hmm. and then 250 would be, and that would be like the AAA. 250 to where we are right now would be more AA, and then a little farther down. But if that makes sense,
yeah, definitely.
Okay, so and we got a couple of players that are ranked in the 300s, and I feel like this is kind of like the A level where players are just coming out of college, just trying to make a transition into the pro tour. The more success they have here, then they get to jump to that next level.
So this is a big opportunity.
Big opportunity, a big opportunity for our guys to see it, to be a part of it, and hopefully do well enough that they get enough points so they can play in the summer and get a college degree, but start a new career.
Gene Orlando, head coach of the Michigan State Men's Tennis Program, talking about the first Capital City Tennis Classic happening this week here at the Michigan State University Tennis Center. And again, as you just mentioned, Gene, we have Brandon Perez from Venezuela, who is ranked like 1,000 in the world right now. And Brandon, can you kind of just tell us a bit about your background and how this whole thing came about for you to hopefully up that ranking here in this event?
Like every tennis player, I started when I was young, just starting with the junior events and junior tournaments. And um, Yeah, I mean, it's another pro event. It's a great opportunity for me. I just started playing pro tournaments, you know, like last year after I transitioned from the juniors. I'm currently in college right now, so it's also a great opportunity for college players. We can come and you know, play a pro event while we're still in college as well. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, just it's a good opportunity for me to boost up my ranking and get some good matches and hopefully good wins.
Certainly. Now, I'm not the smartest man in the world, but if I had to guess what college you currently attend, I would say Virginia Tech?
Yeah, Virginia Tech.
That's because Brandon is rocking a Virginia Tech fleece right now, and I believe a backwards Virginia Tech cap as well, right?
Yeah, correct.
You're rocking your school hard right now.
Yeah.
How did you – can you take us even back to when you were in Venezuela? How did you fall in love with the sport of tennis, and what led to a scholarship there?
Yeah, I don't know. When I was younger, I played baseball and tennis and just kind of fell in love with tennis. Started playing a lot of tournaments, competing. You know, I got into the wanting to practice and get better. And, you know, I would lose and want to win. Like, I was just very competitive. And, you know, every year I would move on to the next level with, you know, Junior Davis Cup, then going for the Junior Grand Slams and then Pro Davis Cup and, you know, Pan American Games, just every year wanting more. And, you know, then the recruiting process came and colleges reached out to me. And, I mean, you know, I really just, you know, decided. And I don't know, just opportunity just came to me after a lot of hard work. And, you know, now is the time to keep the hard work and finding more opportunities, I guess.
Definitely. When did you come to the States?
I came to the States, started practicing and training in College Park, Maryland when I was 16 or 17.
And you're how old now?
I'm 19.
Awesome. So this is still relatively new. Do you like the States?
Yeah, I do. I love the States.
I'm sure you miss home as well.
Yeah, for sure, I do.
An opportunity like this for you, Brandon. I mean, you're ranked 1,000 in the world. Gene, you talked about the highest ranked players in the 300 somewhere. And, you know, you getting that opportunity to up that ranking. You're playing against guys who may be better than you. But you look at this as a golden opportunity, right?
Yeah. I mean, for sure, these are guys who play all year. You know, when you're in college, you don't get to play pro tournaments all year because, you know, you have school to do. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's definitely a good opportunity to see where I'm at, see how I'm playing, and yeah, definitely get more points and, you know, so I can have better entries in the summer to bigger tournaments. And
right.
It's just always a good opportunity. You always have to go out there and compete.
Definitely. And, you know, I'm always fascinated whenever I have, you know, an athlete here on the show that participates in a sport where it's all on you.
Yeah,
it's an individual sport. You can't lean on a teammate. You know, you're out there. Of course, you got a coach.
For sure.
But, you know, you're out there trying to make it happen. Mm. Brandon, how overwhelming is that at times for you?
It's very rough. You know, sometimes you don't. I mean, I think for me personally, it's the hardest part is, you know, when you're not feeling great and you're not having a good day, to, you know, you don't have a teammate or you don't have a coach that can talk to you during the match that tells you, you know, you know how to pick it up or you got to, like, change your mindset or it's okay. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really hard sometimes mentally. You know, you have to find within yourself to keep competing even when it's not going your way, you know?
Right,
so,
right.
So it's definitely rough.
How are you feeling this week, man? You nervous at all?
Good. Yeah, I mean, had a rough start, not feeling great on the court, but, you know, came out with some wins and now definitely ready to compete tomorrow and play some good tennis.
That's awesome. Thank you so much, Brandon. And, Gene, awesome. Final question for you. You talked about, you know, this being an event that also inspires your guys.
Right. Correct.
What have you talked to them in that when it comes to that subject, inspiring your team when they see something like this in tennis players out there, professional tennis players out there trying to make a living off of the sport? What have you talked to them about?
Well, I mean, just, you know, just look at it as an opportunity, and you're in a ring. You know, you're competing against some of the best players, and you're not going to back down from a challenge. You know, and anybody's as good as anybody, and that's why we play. And we're going to, you know, if we're going to have success, it's going to probably be done at home. If you're going to get opportunities, it's going to be because you're at home. Mm-hmm. And that was probably the biggest message. Just hey, we're as good as anyone, and now we're playing at home. It's on our turf, and it's all about opportunities. You know, hey, we might not win today. We might not win tomorrow, but if you keep on getting the opportunities, sooner or later, you're going to knock that door down, and make something happen. So,
I love it.
So the tournament, the main draw will start tomorrow afternoon. There is a $5 intermission, but however, if you bring a canned good, two canned goods to the event, we have the Greater Lansing Food Bank is our part of our sponsor, mm-hmm. and you get in for free. So if you bring a canned food, you're in for free. But if not, $5 at the door. But it's, again, great tennis. It's a great venue. It's professional tennis at its best.
And where is it located again, for those who don't know?
It's going to be at the MSU Indoor Tennis Facility, 3571 East Mount Hope Road, right across the street from the golf course. Love to see everyone.
And what times are we talking throughout the week, you know?
It'll begin at 11 a.m. Gotcha. And probably finish around 9 p.m.
Oh, that's great stuff. For all of my tennis fans out there, go out and support. Again, Gene Orlando and Brandon Perez, thank you guys so much. And
thank you.
I may have to make a stop out there at some point this week to check it out.
We'd love to have you out.
That's great stuff. Awesome. All right, let's hit our final break, Jack. When we come back, we will put a quick bow on this Monday edition of Current Sports. Thank you so much. We'll be right back. Right, that was a nice change of pace from the downer conversation for Michigan State fans. That was Saturday's blowout loss at the hands of Michigan football. I want to go to the phone lines real quick. We only got 30 seconds, but Ray from Indiana, I'm giving you 30 seconds, Ray. Speak your mind, brother.
I'll tell you, I told you it'd be 40 to nothing. It was 44 to 10. I'll tell you, you get the first touchdown. Harbaugh run the score up. This is why I don't like Michigan at all. Rich Eisen just rubbed Steve Murray jelly for about 20 minutes about how, bragging about how his Wolverines stomped on the Spartans. I can't wait for the Buckeyes to get a hold of them and kick their butt like they deserve. You guys left guys open all over the field. I mean, your defense was terrible. Your offense was terrible.
Yeah.
Besides that, you just didn't show up.
Ray from Indiana. Ray, thank you for the call. Appreciate it all. Well, most of that, very, very true. I don't think Harbaugh ran up the score. I mean, it's just that's Michigan State is just not that great this year. All right, folks, we'll see you tomorrow. Be easy, people.